This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Okay. I am on a podcast roll. My husband took the boys camping, so I have the house to myself. So I'm like, I need to pump these out because summers are tough. And then next week we go on vacay. And so, I just recorded another episode and now I'm doing this one. So I'm just like, bam, go, 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 which I love. We're going to talk a little business. We're going to talk a little business. We're going to talk a little bit marketing. We're going to talk about business strategy, branding, all the things I love. I love. There was an episode a while ago where we talked about Victoria's Secrets, and that's a really interesting one for me too. I actually worked at Victoria's Secrets all through college pretty much. And that was like their heyday of like, you know, Giselle and all them, and Victoria's Secret was at its height. Like, people were buying everything Victoria's Secrets, from the pink line to lingerie to the beauty products, like all, I remember Love Spell, like all that stuff. This was before we were worried about like chemicals being in our products. And it was like them, and they also were in the same umbrella company of like Bath and Body Works. They were just killing it. And then, and actually my last semester of college, I also did an internship with a market research company, and one of their clients was Victoria's Secrets. So they brought me in on these meetings because they were like, oh, you worked there for so many years, we have questions. Like, they wanted to know more about like the store experience and things like that. It was really interesting, really interesting. And then I graduated and, you know, went into corporate, obviously, for a decade. And honestly, through that decade or so, Victoria's Secret went completely downhill. They changed, you know, their leadership, and they completely lost touch of their branding and what they do, which I think was a huge mistake. They went way downhill. The brand just wasn't cool anymore. They didn't keep their brand interesting, pretty much. And I believe they filed bankruptcy in 2019, which, I mean, these big corporations do that all the time. It's like not a big deal, which is wild to me, because as a small business owner, if I was to file bankruptcy, that would be the end of my business. So yeah, I find that's a whole other topic, which we won't get into. You know, and I think I'm just going to be completely honest. They went super woke. They got rid of the bombshells, and they wanted to bring in normal people. And they, you know, they brought in, like, I don't even know her name, like the soccer player that like has like her hair short and like pink and purple. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but like, that's not their brand. And they really screwed up. And it showed in their numbers, and the brand just went downhill so fast. And I do think that they're trying to fix it. I actually said in an episode about a year ago that they're gonna have to go back to their old model. They're gonna have to bring back the bombshells. They're going to have to bring back the Victoria's Secret fashion show. They're going to have to keep what made them iconic. And they just announced like a month ago that they are bringing back the Victoria's Secret fashion show. And I hope it is what we expect from them and not, you know, something else. I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, time will tell. I'm hoping that they have smartened up and they're going, our shift didn't work. We're not making money, and we are completely losing this brand as a whole. And like, and here's the deal. Like, people love to be like, oh, they're being all inclusive and all body types. No, listen, Victoria's Secret was built on a fantasy. It was built on this feel sexy movement. And that is Bombshells, period. That's Victoria's Secret supermodels. And you could say whatever you want. That's not realistic. Why not? Why is it not realistic? I hate this narrative. I think Calvin Klein is doing this as well. You know, very, you know, obvious meme that goes around is a snapshot of, I think it's like 1990 ad of Mark Wahlberg with like a supermodel, and they're both super hot and young in the Calvin Klein underwear. And then you snap to today, and it's like this overweight man wearing a sports bra. And it's like, I'm sorry, what is happening with our world? Like, no, on so many levels, it's not even funny. And quite frankly, it shows. Who wears and promotes Calvin Klein at this point? Nobody. The last time Calvin Klein was semi-cool was probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when the Kardashians did an ad for them wearing, you know, Calvin Klein. I believe Kylie was pregnant and Khloé had just given birth. So it was a long time ago. And that was the last time. No one is touching this brand since. They've completely screwed up. I feel like at this point, Calvin Klein is just like a discount brand that you find at like Marshall's or TJ Maxx or something. And even then, you're like, why do I want this? I'm just being honest. Like, they screwed their brand, and they're gonna have to be another one that circles back. Bring in new leadership, guys. Like, yes. Okay. But I wanted to jump on here to mostly talk about Abercrombie and Fitch and Free People. So, Abercrombie and Fitch was one of the big brands back in the day as well. I think if you look at the history of Victoria's Secret and the history of Abercrombie, it was very similar timeline and captured a similar audience. So, you know, Abercrombie, and then they had their spinoff Hollister. I actually worked at Hollister in high school, and it was back in the day when like people would stand by the door in like bikinis and bathing suits, or guys would have like their shirts off. And I just remember like when, you know, they hired me, I was like, I'm not standing at the door in a bikini. Like, I just want to make that clear. Like, that's not happening. And they never asked me to or anything, but like, I just remember being like, I'm not doing that. But that was very iconic. And you would walk in and they would have these huge posters of like beautiful models. And the place smelled like cologne or perfume, and they would be bumping the music, and the brand was such a brand, you know, like, and it was all about this like preppy, you know, collared shirt popping, low rise short jean shorts for the girls, and you know, the boys were like throwing a football with the All-American dog in the background. Like, it was a vibe. But that's what branding is. I want to be very clear. My background is marketing. It's part of the reason why Lemon is even successful is because of my marketing background, and I know that. Branding is so important, and people love to talk shit on these brands. Like, oh, Abercrombie was so horrible, and you could only be this all-American vibe to be a part of their brand. It's like, that was their brand. It's like, it's kind of like hating on Tommy Hilfiger for being all-American also. That's their brand, period. And you could say I hate it, then if you hate it, don't buy it. But clearly, people were buying it and loving it. So shut up, you know? Like, this makes me so mad. Their branding was so good, you guys, was so on point, and we all loved it. I would say probably 75% of my wardrobe back then was Abercrombie and Hollister. And not just because I worked there, but like, that was the in thing, period. I think I did like a little bit of like Forever 21, Nordstrom, and like some other stuff. And like, remember, Lucky Brand was big back then, and True Religion jeans, and like certain things. But Abercrombie was very much, and Hollister were very much like the majority of what I wore, period. And I also have to say this, they had really good quality clothes and it fit well. It fit small, but it fit well. So yeah, you might have to like size up because their sizing was a little tight, but that was also the style back then. Everything was low rise and tight fitting and tight little tank tops, and you're showing a little bit of midriff. Like that was the style back then. So like when you see these like documentaries now or videos, people are like trying to talk crap on the branding and like be like, this is so wrong. No, that was the style, you guys. Like you don't get it because you're probably Gen Z. You know, like that was our style. Like our jeans were so low that like when you go to sit down, you're like, can I sit? I don't know. You're gonna see my butt crack. Like, you know, like it was just, that was the style, and that branding was so smart. Now, as time changed and style changed, the brand Abercrombie started to become stale. So, you know, would I wear that stuff today? No. Like, am I gonna wear like a tight polo shirt with my collar popped with like, you know, like remember we used to wear like three layers? It would be like a tank top and a polo shirt and another polo shirt, and that was like the style. Like, am I gonna wear that today? Or are kids today gonna wear it? No, because it's not as in style, and that's just life. Style changes, trends change, brand, you know, things change. But when your brand is so specific, like an Abercrombie, it does become difficult because you're like, this is what we built ourselves on. But I think that, and they started to go downhill. Like, I think one of, they said, I saw this recently, this stat that said the most hated brand in 2016 was Abercrombie. Like they were so not relevant. And I get it. I stopped shopping there. I think my whole generation stopped shopping there. I think the generation after us didn't even know really what it was. Some locations shut down. The whole vibe was just stale. Now, as a brand, they could have just crashed and burned, but they didn't. They rebranded, they changed their style, they really thoughtfully became a new Abercrombie and Fitch and Hollister. Now, if you go into their stores, it's very relevant, but they've kept their essence in a lot of way. They're still, I wouldn't say that they're like all American, but they are classic American still, right? Like they've gone with a lot of plain. So you see a lot of white, a lot of cream, a lot of black, a lot of denim, a lot of like you will see like summer dresses or whatever. It's all on brand, but also on trend. So smart, you guys. And then they kind of like seeped it out to some influencers. And I really think they focus more on the small micro influencers, not these big names. And they just let it very organically happen. And what really happened was, you know, these influencers or ourselves started to wear a little bit of Abercrombie. And then someone would go, oh my God, where'd you get those pants from? Those are so cute. And you would go, believe it or not, I got these at Abercrombie and Fitch. And that happened to me a couple years ago with, I don't even know what it was, like a dress or it was like a vest or something. And that exact thing kept happening to me where people would be like, that's so cute. Where'd you get it from? I'd be like, Abercrombie, can you believe it? Like it was almost like a state of shock at first. And now it's a normal. Like everyone now kind of knows that the brand has cute clothes. And I also think that Abercrombie was also in a tough position because they were in this world of fast fashion where you've got like the Zaras and the Targets and H&M and all of these brands that are pushing out this very cheap fast fashion where people consider Zara super cool. And like, don't get me wrong, I own some things from Zara. I'm not like dissing them, but it is like a cheaper experience from start to finish. You go to the store, it's a different vibe. The people that work there are a different vibe. The material of the clothes is just not as high quality for the most part. It's kind of like an elevated Forever 21 vibe. And, you know, Abercrombie could have kind of competed in that world if they wanted to. Like, they could have rebranded and then tried to be like the next Zara. But they didn't do that. They kept their quality and their price point pretty much the same. Like, I haven't like analyzed the numbers, but if I had to guess, they're in the same bracket of retail, right? They're not cheap. They're not super expensive. They're in that, like, what I consider sweet spot. Like, that's my favorite place to shop, is where I know it's high quality, but I'm also not paying for like a Gucci name tag. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about that kind of stuff. And I think most people don't, but we do want quality to an extent. Like, I want to be able to buy a pair of jeans and know that it's going to last. I want to be able to buy a dress and know it's not going to fall apart. This is part of why Lemon does well, is because I am so big on sourcing quality. Every once in a while, we'll get something like kind of trendy and it's like a little bit cheaper material maybe. And like, it's kind of a fun seasonal piece, but majority of what hits Lemon is high quality or organic cotton, or, you know, I really want to make sure that the fit is really good. Like, that's the kind of stuff. And that's what Abercrombie was smart with. They didn't sway in their quality, which I think was smart. I think even if I'm 18 and I'm buying something, I still want it to like look good when I put it on. I don't want it to be so cheapy that, you know, it doesn't look good, it's not flattering, it falls apart, whatever it may be. So really smart. And they really revamped themselves. Like, so good. I applaud their marketing team, their design team, whoever like led this change, good work. And I do think it's interesting when you watch brands and they have to change with the times. And I'm not saying like politically change, because I don't care about that kind of stuff. I actually think that's more of like a nail in the coffin if you play that game, like we talked about with Victoria's Secret. But fashion does change, and branding has to grasp that. You know, it's really easy to become stale if you aren't smart in your tweaks with your brand. And I think that's what Abercrombie had to do and did do, and it's working. Like, when you still walk in the store, it still has a good vibe. And it's just different. But I do like kind of miss the iconic Abercrombie, even though the reality is like, we're not going to really wear that stuff anymore. You know, like, times have changed, but I don't know. It lives in a special part in my heart. It's like nostalgic or something. And then we've got Free People, which has been killing it the last few years. I think that if you look 10 years ago, nobody really cared about Free People. At least I didn't. It felt very like hippy dippy, you know, boho vibes. And it just like wasn't my thing. And still, I'm not like that style. But they've really done a good job with quality and really good fit. Like, their stuff looks good when you put it on, which I think is very, very key when it comes to clothing that people like to kind of skip over. But then also, they're bringing us very unique items where they're like bringing you like a, you know, like a very like baggy romper, and you're just like, why does this look so good on me? But it does, you know, like, you know, the barrel jeans that they do right now, and like dresses and jumpsuits and overalls, and like they just, they're doing more unique pieces that you can't easily find, right? It's not just like a plain white tee where you're like, okay, I could find that with six other brands that's similar. So then which one do I want? They're giving us stuff that like you can't find anywhere else. And that's why Amazon and, you know, all of these like fast fashion places are like copying. They're like, okay, you know, Free People made one that's $79. We're going to make something just like it for, you know, $20, $12, whatever. Of course, the fit is not the same. The quality is not the same for the most part. You know, like you can definitely, I'll admit, like I have a pair of Barrel jeans that I get compliments on all the time. I literally got it on Amazon. It is like a really good like jean material. So it's not like cheap, stretchy crap. And, you know, I mean, I paid like $40 for it. It wasn't like that cheap, but it's kind of like a knockoff of Free People. And I get compliments all the time. And all the time people think it's Free People. And it, you know, it's like a trendy piece that I was like, I'm just going to get for cheap. And I ended up loving it. And it is good quality. But when it does come to some of like the t-shirts, the, you know, jumpsuits, things like that, I have to admit, like, it's not the same. It's just not. And that's the kind of stuff I try to stay away from as much as possible in my own wardrobe, but also for Lemon, right? So, you know, Free People, again, has done a great job with influencers marketing their stuff. And honestly, a lot of it is by accident, because what happens is these influencers are trying to get you to buy the cheap knockoffs, the dupes, as they like to say, on Amazon. Because if you go on Amazon and you buy it with their link, then they get a kickback. They make a profit, right? So they're saying like, oh, look, this is the actual version and then this is the dupe and it looks the same. And like when they do that, I'm usually like, no, actually the real one looks better. And then I go buy the real one. Like I'm just being completely transparent with you guys. Like that's, so I think like these dupes are actually doing them a favor, because the dupes will never compete. It's just not, for the most part. Like obviously I have those jeans, but for the most part. So, you know, it's a little bit of a threat, but also like if your brand is doing well enough that everyone's trying to copy you for cheap, You've made it, right? It's kind of like the fake Chanel bag. It's like Chanel doesn't really give a shit, because they're like, our brand is so good that you're making fake knockoffs of our brand. That means we've made it. And so I really think Free People has made it. And I'm curious, again, another brand, like how are they gonna keep their branding integrity of like how we know Free People, but then also stay with the trends of what we want. It's an interesting balancing act. So kudos to their marketing team too. It hasn't gone unnoticed is my point, you know? So I love this kind of stuff. I think it's really interesting to see branding and changes in marketing and PR and just really how the times have changed with social media versus traditional advertising, and really kind of what the public is demanding. Like, it is interesting that we kind of want some of this like funky pieces from Free People, but then also we want these classic pieces in general that's really in, like this very like minimalist, all American, classic pieces. And I guess I shouldn't say all American, because it can also be very like European high class vibes. But you know what I mean, like very classic. So I find it fascinating. And it's one of those things that like I love because of my marketing background, but I also have to stay in tuned with because of Lemon. I want like the stuff that we were selling and we had at Lemon in 2017, 18, 19, when we opened and launched and expanded, is not the same as today. And I do find that like so fascinating. So, you know, I gotta stick with the trends. I gotta keep it fresh. But also I think like as consumers and people, we can learn a lot when we analyze these companies, which I think is so interesting. But then also, if you're a business owner, learning this kind of stuff, even if it's not part of your industry, is so powerful, because I think at the end of the day, the branding is just as important as the actual products. You know, I still have people that walk into Lemon and either recognize Lemon from California, or they'll ask me if it's a chain or a franchise. And I'm like, oh, I take that as such a compliment, because if you think my store is a chain, that means I've done really good branding. Like, you look at it and you're like, I know this brand. And it's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do.